This is Jazz and Beyond. I'm your host, Jerry Maddock, and I'll be with you right up until around midnight. And we have a special guest this evening. His name is Jeff Antoniuk, and he is out with a brand new album called Brotherhood. Good evening, Jeff.
Good evening.
Thanks for calling in. Jeff's calling in from Annapolis, so it's midnight back there. Appreciate your call.
Oh, that's fine. Fortunately, I'm a jazz musician, and midnight's, you know, middle of the day for me.
That's right, middle of the day. Well, we chatted a little bit offline here, and I'd like to pick up something that you had been talking about. In addition to being a performer, you're also very interested in jazz education in the Washington area.
Absolutely.
So could you summarize a little bit about that?
Well, sure. For about 8 years, I taught at Towson University here in Baltimore. So, you know, like many performers, I, you know, enjoy teaching at the university level.
Sure.
But I ended up, really, the majority of my teaching is sort of on either end of that. We're very fortunate here in the Washington, D.C. area to have Washington Performing Arts Society. It's a fabulous presenting organization that for 50 years, when the Berlin Philharmonic comes to town, that's thanks to Washington Performing Arts. When Wynton Marsalis plays at the Kennedy Center, or when Kathleen Battle comes to the Kennedy Center, they're the presenters. So they're responsible for a lot of the great music in D.C., but for decades now, they've had this great vision of educational outreach. So they send artists of many descriptions into the public schools. And for 12 years, I've been their main jazz artist, going into schools with my quartet. And just over the last couple of years, they've founded something called the Capital Jazz Project in conjunction with Wynton Marsalis and Jazz at Lincoln Center. So I get to work somewhat closely with Jazz at Lincoln Center and Wynton going into the public schools. And my group, the Jazz Update, we were in D.C. public schools about 100 times last year.
Wow.
So it's you know, it's fabulous for us. We love the work. It's great for these kids because they get, you know, high-end professionals coming into their classrooms at the elementary and middle school level. So it's a pretty cool situation.
Tell us a little bit about your quartet and how that all came together.
You bet. Well, I was with another group for many years called the Unified Jazz Ensemble, and I was sort of itching to do a little bit more of my own thing about 5 years ago. So I was sort of conceptualizing who I might want to be in this band. And the Washington, D.C. area just has a really rich bunch of musicians here. I've lived around the country. I'm from Canada originally. So I've you know, been to and lived in quite a few major cities. And, you know, every place has some great players. But Washington, it's really, really amazing. So I was, you know, sort of imagining my sort of dream band in this area and called those three guys and they said yes. So that was sort of the beginning of this group. I had some ideas of the sound I was looking for and who would sort of help create that. So you know, thankfully these, you know, very good friends of mine had the time to commit to the group, and we've done a couple albums now and you know, play together very often, at least two or three times a week.
I have one of your songs queued up, and you say that this is a song about your son. It's called Screwball.
That's the one. Yes, I have a 6-year-old. He just turned 7. And one of my many loving nicknames for him is Screwball. He's a pretty wacky little kid, and we have a lot of fun together. So I recall sitting down with the idea, with sort of with the title in my head, and sort of thinking about what I could do to sort of capture what a 6-year-old boy with a little too much Mountain Dew is like.
That sounds like fun. Let's play it. Here it goes.
Thank you.
And that just swings like crazy.
Well, you got to get the right band. That's the trick.
Tell us about the musicians.
You bet. Well, in the group, it's a quartet. We have Tony Martucci on drums, Wade Beach on piano, and Tom Baldwin on bass. And as I said, these guys are, you know, my favorite players in town, and we've got a great selection of musicians, many of whom spent a lot of time in New York or Philadelphia or still do. Tom Baldwin, our bass player, fabulous composer as well. He has a couple tunes on the album. Oh. He teaches bass at the University of Maryland here. And he's the top call player in town on bass. Whenever anybody comes to Blues Alley, whether it's George Garzone or Eric Alexander or whomever, he's the guy that they call. On piano is Wade Beach, and he's in the jazz studies department at George Mason University in Northern Virginia, right here in the area. And again, he's who everybody calls in town, and I'm just so happy that he prioritizes our gigs, because he could be working three gigs a day, 7 days a week if he wanted to. And he's just got tons of technique, but very tasteful player. He was actually a protege of Sir Roland Hanna up in New York. I know we just listened to some Thad Jones and Mel Lewis. I'm sure Sir Roland Hanna was on that recording, or he could have been anyway.
He had a very long intro on it.
Yeah, and so when Wade was a young man, he went up to New York to study with Sir Roland Hanna and essentially ended up, you know, living with him, subbing his gigs, and, you know, really was that old-time mentorship sort of approach to learning. So in addition to having a master's in classical piano from, you know, back in the 70s, Wade also went to New York and, you know, learned how to play from the guys up there. And Tony Martucci on drums, he teaches at the university in Richmond, Virginia. And Tony just really has his own wonderful swinging, but, you know, wild, loosey-goosey way of playing, which I really love. And it's a lot of fun to play over top. So this is, you know, just a great assortment of fine players. But I love the way the four of us fit together. I think it's nice and has an individual quality to it.
It sounds really like a tight group, certainly not a pickup group at all.
No, not at all.
Very closely arranged.
Yeah, you know, I love playing with new musicians in new settings all the time. Just last week I got to play with, a bit of a pickup setting with Walt Weisskopf, great saxophone player, who we had come in for a concert. And, you know, there's nothing more exciting than playing with somebody new. But, you know, you can't really replace 5 or 6 years of, hundreds of gigs together. Whether you have a plan or not, as you say, it starts getting tight and you start getting a group sound.
Yeah, it really comes across. I really like the way that the piano and bass had the unison sound behind the original, the head, as the jazz musicians call it, the original statement of the melody. And then you keep, it kind of builds up kind of a tension until it really breaks into a swing, and it took off there. Like that tune.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah. Who does the arranging mostly?
Well, you know, one thing I've learned over the years, you know, with my songs, some of them I keep a little sort of looser, especially with this group. I can really trust that whatever I bring in, the guys are going to add their personality to it, and I want that to be the case. So on occasion, I'll have something that I'm pretty clear I want, and, you know, let's do it this way. But very often I'll bring things in with, keeping them consciously loose and give the guys leeway with ways to go. On our first album, Here Today, I wrote a song that I absolutely had in mind to have sort of a quasi, almost a reggae feel, hinting back to the Steps Ahead band that Michael Brecker had. And it just sort of a feel I had in my head. And when Tony started playing it, he ignored that part on the sheet, played an entirely different feel. I'm not even sure if he saw that direction, but I never went back. What he played was so much hipper than what I had in mind. I'm not sure to this day that I told him that I was looking for something else. So, you know, I do have ideas, but I'm so trusting of these guys, and they just prove over and over again, you know, what they can do. So
you have a combination of hothouse and evidence on this. And those,
right.
Those two tunes I never would think of. Of course, they're both from the bop era, and one was written by Gillespie and the other one by Monk. But the transition is so smooth between the two of them when you go from one to the other that unless you're listening very closely, you don't even realize that, hey, the tune has been switched on you.
You know, there's no reason on earth that it should work. The way it happened is, as we were getting ready to do the CD, anyone that's done a project like this knows you start off with about 30 songs you'd love to record, and you have to get it down to 8 or 9 or 10. So we decided to record 10 songs, and I had it down to 11. And I could not, for the life of me, decide which song to leave out. I loved Hot House, I loved Evidence, and I wanted to record both. And I was sitting at my desk, you know, trying to figure it out. And I'm not sure what compelled me to wonder if they would work together, but somehow that idea occurred to me that I wonder if we can play both these songs at the same time. One has a lot of notes. Hot House has a lot of notes. Evidence has a lot of space.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, you know, so I thought, I wonder if this would work. The thing is, they're in two different, they're in different keys.
Wow.
You know, entirely, you know, everything about them is different. The chords are not, they don't substitute for one another, but I just kind of went ahead and overlaid one over the other, and miraculously, in two different keys with two different sets of chords, the melodies can coexist. So I brought that arrangement into the guys, and they looked at me like I was insane, and as well they should have. And we, you know, it took a little while to put it together and figure out what was supposed to line up with what, but lo and behold, it sort of worked. So we tweaked it a little bit, and here we have these two songs coexisting.
The mother of invention.
I guess so.
Here's the medley, Hot House and Evidence. We'll be right back.
would like to thank Greater Park Hill News for their in-kind support. Greater Park Hill News is a monthly publication serving the residents of the Park Hill area in Denver. They can be reached by phone at 303-388-0918 or online at gphc.org.
Want to let everybody know that our guest this evening is Jeff Antoniuk. Jeff is from Annapolis, Maryland. He's a tenor saxophonist, a jazz educator, a band leader, and what did I leave out, Jeff?
This sounds pretty good to me.
Okay. There's a theme that kind of runs through your latest album, which is called Brotherhood, and it's kind of a global theme. It has Meet Me at the Ponderosa. It has Isfahan. And then there's Global Village as well.
You know, it is kind of true. I don't know that I set out that way, but that theme and image did, you know, sort of keep popping up. It's true.
It's not like Jeff Antonia plays this or that composer. I mean, it's not that strong, but it is there, I think.
Well, yeah, you know, I had a very sort of cool childhood. I'm from Western Canada originally, but I grew up in Nigeria, in West Africa. My dad was a teacher, so, you know, I was too young to say I picked up any of the music, but I was taking piano lessons at that time, and, you know, I heard a lot of West African music as a kid. Ended up getting interested in jazz, moving to the United States. And, you know, since then I've done some great tours through Japan and Russia and Siberia and lots of other places. And, you know, it all interests me very much. And, you know, I love musicians and composers where when I hear them play or sing, I feel like I'm hearing them personally. If they're a very serious person, their music, I think, should sound serious. If they're sort of a funny person, I feel like I should feel some humor from their music. So I spent a little time thinking about that. Then the title of the album, Brotherhood, that definitely had some meaning for me. So it is sort of a theme that came up through the album, I guess.
You told me that the tune Global Village is getting a lot of airplay. I thought we could wind things up with that, unless you had any final comments.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah. This is one of those songs that really overtly I wanted to see if I could communicate some of the West African rhythms that I studied and heard as a kid. So I think people are really gravitating towards this song, and it's definitely got some fabulous percussion on it.
Well, let's play it. I'll have to get it queued up here. And I'm very close to that. There we go. Yeah, this is Global Village. It's been a real pleasure to speak with you this evening, Jeff. And thanks once again for calling in.
Oh, you're very welcome, Jerry. I had a great time.
Us too. It's fun to hear this music. I've heard it before, but it's fun to let the other folks know about it and to hear it.
Oh, well, that's great. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks again, Jeff. And we'll be watching for new and great things from you and from the Jazz Update as well.
Well, thank you very much. We'll have another album coming out actually probably within the year.
That sounds great. Well, here's Global Village, and good night, Jeff.
Good night. Thank you very much.